Welcome to Art and Fringe. I'm Vulcan, and together with my co-host Kamfani, we dive into the raw side of creativity. This podcast is about art without limits, art that questions, art that pushes back, art that shows us who we are. Every episode, we sit with artists from around the world to talk about their journey, their struggles, and the stories behind their work. It's not just about galleries and pretty pictures. It's about freedom, vulnerability, and the power of creating. Welcome back to Art and Fringe. I'm Vulcan, and this is season 2, where we keep exploring the real stories behind creativity. Today, we are talking about something every artist thinks about: how to stand out in a world full of portraits. How do you create something that's yours? Something that feels alive. To help me dig into that, I'm joined by an amazing artist, Ify Usen. Ify is known for his charcoal portraits that blurs the line between the real and emotional drawings that almost move like they are breathing emotion, like as if wind is blowing through them. Ify, it's really great to have you here. Welcome to Art and Fringe.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. So let's start from the beginning. Can you tell us about yourself? And you can also kind of like tell us who is Ify when he's not trying.
Okay, so basically everybody knows that I'm Ify Usen. I don't think I do much when I'm not drawing. So I'm a very simple guy. When I'm not drawing, instead I'm listening to music, watching football. Like, people know I'm a Chelsea fan. I make a lot of noise about it. And maybe I'm thinking about quiet ideas. I go to church. I'm in the choir. So I sing from time to time. And I cook. Like, when I told you I was, like, stressed out today, I've been cooking, like, since morning. I'm just done with everything I was doing. So that's basically who I am.
That's nice. I'm also kind of like a chef myself. I like to experiment on food, you know. So I used to try different type of things, different type of recipe when I'm not doing that. So I can relate to that. It's really stressful cooking, especially when I'm kind of like particular about the taste. But going towards your art, I would like to ask, like, what first drew you towards realism and portraiture?
Okay, so I've always been fascinated by faces. Like, basically, it just started when I was young, in primary, secondary school. I was just fascinated about, like, drawing. I used to do assignments back then for people. So, and we had this rule in our house: no phone till you are done with secondary school. So, once I was done with secondary school, there was this time I did a drawing of our state governor back then. I'm from Akwa Ibom State, so I just tried it out and I got the resemblance, like, really, really perfect. All the textures and everything, like the depth and contrast, were not like 100% right. Well, for a first time, it was really perfect. So then I was like, okay, I could make this part of my life and keep doing it. So when I got the phone, when I was done with secondary school, I happened to open Instagram, Facebook, and started seeing the likes of Arezi, Cleobino Carrefour. So I'm sure most of us, we know them. So from there, I was like, okay, I need to try reach their level, because those guys, they make photographs look exactly like the drawing they are making. So that's how I was fascinated about it. And I was like, okay, yeah, let me do this. But one of the things that was driving me then, like, maybe along the line, was I started shifting from getting that, like, hyper realism to just try to recreate what's in the photograph. So most times people ask me, how do you even get your drawings right? I just say it's easy. Where you see black, you put black. Where you see white, you put white. Where you see gray, you put gray. So that's just basically it.
That's lovely. So from drawing, people's chemistry, okay, or science, diagrams and everything, to going into portraits, it's really lovely. I want to ask, like, your charcoal portraits, they have this beautiful blurred effects, like almost like wind or motion. How did that style start? And what does it mean to you?
Okay, first of all, it started playfully. I'm not going to come here and say I saw it in a dream or in a trance or something. It just started playfully. My friend posted a blurry picture. And I was like, I've not done something like this before. I could just try it out. And then I just did it. I still followed my normal pattern. Try to get the black spots where the black spots are, where the white spots are, where the gray spots are. Just get them. And then I got it right. Like, I just got it perfect. Like, the very first one I did, I don't know if I can pin it up here. Just give me a second. Let me try to pin it up here. So, I've pinned it up here. So, this was my very first attempt. So, I just tried it out. Pour the charcoal on the paper as I normally do. And I have these makeup brushes, which I just use. And then I get everything, like, perfect. So, I started doing that. And it was fun. It was interesting because I'm someone that, on a normal, I just like blurry pictures to an extent. I don't know why it might sound weird to some people. Like, why would I just love blurry pictures? So, since I started doing it, and there's this thing that the algorithm also helps you, like maybe like your followers or your mutuals just help you maybe decide what you want to do. And it says that after doing that, I did like two extra ones. Somebody commented, I was like, you could make this your niche and then continue doing this. I still have that to its bookmark somewhere. And I was like, okay. Yeah. So that's basically how I started doing blur. And then I just made it like my kind of style. If I see any blurry picture now, I'm always fascinated. I just want to draw it or try it out. Some are very hard and I just try. And then I get it out at some points. Like, I think for now, I've gotten really used to it. Just like one of my pastors said one time, when you're in the mess for too long, the mess now becomes a message to you. So I've been doing it for quite too long and I'm very, very comfortable with it. I don't even get, my eyes don't ping me. I might get a little headache, but once I get a headache, I go and eat a fang soup and then I'm fine.
You know, when you talk about a fang soup, I just remember that. And I know we used to both follow the same guy, this guy, Aquaman. And when he's talking about a fang soup, for just... Yeah, very hilarious. But going to your portraits, I just love the way it moves in motion. It's just kind of like all these pictures that, I don't know, that is kind of like shaking. And it's really lovely. Like, when you look at different parts of them, it gives this particular type of double exposure effects, which I love. I'm also into that type of work as well. So, when you are working with charcoal, what's the hardest part? Is it like the patience or like perfecting the piece to the end?
Okay. The hardest part about this drawing is always the grid lines. Getting the proportions right, like starting, let me just say starting is always the hardest part because sometimes you set up your table, your pencils and everything, then you are staring at the blank paper. You are like, can I do this? There are a lot of times, even till now, and I'm like, I'm still, there's a little bit of self-doubt that I'll be like, can I do this? I don't know whether I self-doubt, Shaq. But I'll be like, can I really do this? Then I just start. And then there's a part where you have to be as patient as possible and don't rush anything you are doing. So I just take it bit by bit. If I feel sleepy, I go to sleep. If I feel like maybe I need to eat something, I just go to eat. So the hardest part about it is just starting. Once I just start, and then there are some drawings I start, I'm supposed to take like maybe a week to finish it. But once I start and I'm enjoying the groove and all of that, maybe I play some music and all of that, I could finish it up in a day. Yeah. So the hardest part, basically just starting.
Yeah, sometimes someone cannot just even have that motivation to even start something. So it's always good that I always respect people that can start something and kind of like have the energy to finish it and see it through the end. So, like, what's your process like from when you're creating a piece? Like, from the sketch to finished work, how is it like? Can you describe it?
Okay, so basically, I start with the proportion and I use grid lines. I've not learned the other styles because I didn't even go to an art school and all of that. So I use grid lines first. Then I next thing I go in with is the sketch. Try to get the sketch so that it fits into the paper I want to use. The paper could be maybe 10, 15 inches or 10, 12 or thereabout. So I try to make sure it fits in perfectly well. And I try to just make sure my sketch is also top notch, because if you miss the sketch, most times, because I work with references most of the time, I rarely do imaginative. It's just maybe along the line, I'll just put in some imaginative things or put in some things that I feel, okay, this would be here, this would be here. I rarely do imaginative. I'm not, there are people that they are called to do that one. Not really for me. So I make sure I get the sketches right, like really light. And then I start pouring the charcoal bit by bit. Sometimes I draw depending on my mood. I could start from maybe the eyes, depending on what drawing it is. If it's a face I'm drawing, I could start from the eyes most times. Or maybe I just try to run it from top of the paper to down of the paper. Sometimes from down of the paper to top of the paper. Depend, just like I said, depending on my mood. Then I just build the layers of tones and shadows gradually. So I pour charcoal, try to add more contrast, because initially when I started drawing, all this time I was always scared to pour more charcoal on my paper or graphite. I was always scared because I didn't have like good the complete tools, especially erasers. There are these erasers that really help you, even if you pour as much charcoal as possible. If you need to clean off some, you can still clean it off. So I think that's just basically it. So from there till like the finish point, and then I add all the highlights and everything I need to do and make sure it looks exactly how I want it to be. Sometimes it doesn't look exactly like the reference, but it looks exactly how I want it to be.
That's lovely. So like there's a fine line between drawing what you see and drawing what you feel. How do you balance the two?
Okay, so let me see. Drawing what I see and what I feel, most of the time, that's why I think from the other question I answered, I said, like, it depends on my mood, because sometimes I can just be drawing exactly what I see, especially if it's, I think most times it's when I'm doing commissions, that I have to draw exactly what I see. Exactly what is there, because the person that is paying for the commission wants it to look exactly like the picture. But if it's the personal pieces I work on, those are the ones where I have to freestyle. And if I feel like, okay, the shade here is lighter or it should be darker or something, I'll add that. That one's just for my mood and everything. There's sometimes I'll just sit there, I could shade a particular piece for as long as possible until I feel, okay, this is okay. It's just like, I think the normal instincts where you see where our mothers cook, and then they are not, the only thing maybe they could portion a bit is the number of Maggi they are going to put. Maybe you could say they are putting 5 cubes of Maggi, they are putting 3 cubes of Maggi. Or you see for salt, when it comes to salt, just how they feel, they will just pour the salt into the food, and then when it does feel it's okay, they will not test it. And but for the drawing, I'm not testing it, obviously. So sometimes I just walk, and then when I feel it's like, okay, it's okay. Yeah, I don't stop there. And that's the part that makes, I think that's the part that makes most artists' work look different. Because you could give 10 artists a particular picture to work on, and it will all look, even if they work on the same medium and all of them are trying to make like hyperrealism, it will still have this difference. You see this, I know that, okay, this is Rapido's work. You see this, I know, okay, this is Toby's work and all of that. Yeah.
That's lovely. Yeah, it's just like, I like the way you kind of like use this cooking analogy, like the way it is like different recipes. Everybody has the way they are going to come up with something to make the same meal. And yeah, it's going to taste the same, but not really the same at the same time. Yeah, it's really nice the way you kind of like put it together like that. So realism can be tricky. It's really tough to stand out. What do you think makes your kind of realism different?
I don't know what makes it different. I don't know. I can't really hear what makes it different. The viewers that would really know of what makes it different. To an extent, I just try to, like I've said earlier, I just try to, where I see black spots, I make them black. Where I see white spots from the references I'm working on, I make them that way. So, I don't know. If it was food now, I'd just say the test is the difference, and the difference is the test. So once you test it, you know that, okay, this is your capacity.
Do you think it's like about Stai story or like something else entirely?
First of all, I think it's the blurry. One thing I would also say just makes my work look different is that I think it's the blurry texture. I think I just shade it differently from the way other artists shade. If you watch some videos on YouTube, you'll see people that are capable enough to post their process and everything. You see people shade differently. There are people that pour water on their paper before they even start working. So there are ways I shade. If you see like my time lapse process where I post from time to time, there are ways I shade. So it just looks different. And it's mostly the viewers that will be able to tell, okay, this work is different from this one. Because somebody could see your work and say, okay, this is your work. Somebody could see my work. And for like the masters themselves, they are Marisa and Kelvin. You could see Kelvin's work and know, okay, this is Kelvin. You could see this person's work and know, okay, this is Arinze's work. I will never be able to answer that.
Yeah, you answered it perfectly. So I know, like, recently, this person, Mr. Beast, bought your work and he's kind of like recognized your work. So far, can you kind of like describe how it happened and how did it feel in that first moment?
Okay, so I felt happy, I felt fulfilled, I felt I hope people know where I'm drawing that from. Okay, so how did you feel at first? I was shocked. I was so shocked. I think I've not been shocked that way in my life before. I've not been shocked that way in my life before. I posted the drawing. Normally, I just posted the drawing that, okay, people see that, okay, I could be able to draw this blurry picture of Mr. Beast and all, and then I'll get a lot of engagements as normal and not put my mind to him seeing it because it's obviously he's a celebrity. And then we have everyday artists draw celebrities and then he gets aired or something like that. So my own was just, I'll get engagements from it. People will tag him as much as possible. So that afternoon, I went to sleep and I woke up. I was about to have my bath and go for rehearsal. Yeah, in church. So I said, let me check my phone for a bit. Only for me to check my phone. I saw that Mr. Beast commented and he followed me. I started crying. I was like, what is this? Like, why? Like, I started thinking of, because you know, when you, the whole algorithm thing and everything, when you want to post your artwork, you are thinking of the time to post it, the best time and everything, or anything you are doing, you, like, how do you do it right? Like, so I was now thinking, there was a part I was now thinking, okay, what if I didn't post this thing today? What if I posted it like yesterday? What if I posted it earlier? Because normally, most times, I like posting my art by 3 p.m. New art, especially, I like putting it like 3 p.m. West African time in the afternoon. So, but this one, I was just like, I posted that morning. So, just like the Bible says, all things work together for my good. So, it just worked out that way for me. And then, when it happened, I was overwhelmed. I cried. I was like, ah. But I was like, okay, this will not make me step up for rehearsals. So, I rushed to rehearsals and everything. I was smiling all through. People would see me out smiling on the road and everything. They are wondering. I was waiting to do this one. It was a smile anyhow. So, that's how basically everything felt that day. And I tried not to just... I was excited, but I tried to like keep myself in check as much as possible. Although people that were on my timeline that time, so that I was like, it was not like check like that. So
it's a lovely thing to celebrate. Of course, there's no joy kind of like there's nothing trying to kind of like hide that particular type of excitement. It's really,
yeah. My guy was telling me I'm being too much. But when he told me I was doing so much, like he ended his statement with none of us has been here before, so he can't really justify whatsoever my reaction of it.
Exactly. And apart from that, you've also been speed drawing for a while. Like I normally used to come across your drawings in my timeline where you would just kind of like see a random picture and you would just kind of like speed draw it and show the person. So I think you've been doing it for a while, and like and what you said about timing too, like timing matters. And yeah, sometimes the usual time you normally post it, and then there's not really an actual time that is the best time for engagement. And yeah, it's just like exactly the universe kind of like responded as you kind of like posted. So Did that like recognition change anything for you? Like how people saw your work and how you saw yourself as an artist?
For me, nothing has changed. I'm still the same iffy as I show up every day, wake up and touch pencils and do my usual thing. And maybe some things, I don't know what people think on the outside. I can't really say for them. I can't really speak for them because they are seeing things differently. I'm just seeing things normally. I come online, I do my usuals, I see other artists work. I retweet, I comment. If I need to do like those speed paintings I used to do, if I see a beautiful reference on the timeline, if I need to draw it, I'll draw it if I have the time. And yeah, there are some other things I just have going on and some things, some structures I set up. So I just keep doing them. I don't see myself like, I don't, because there's this thing where if you want to, I don't know if I can mention Yamal in this, they were dragging him recently. There's this thing where, there's this picture where he puts it, I think he tried to put the crown on himself, and then Rafinha was now looking at him in some sort of way. So I don't want to like put, I try not to just get overwhelmed. Minister Dosin said a prayer recently for Pastor Nathaniel Bassi on his birthday, and it was like, he prays that God, like he should not, like know the impact he has on people's life, like him himself, you should not know, because there's how you get to know some certain things and you now lose track of, okay, the purpose of what you're supposed to do. So I try not to just get overwhelmed there, maybe like let it get to me. But yeah, some certain things will change, obviously, but not all of it. I'm still the same if we're real side.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, I was kind of thinking whether it was going to kind of be difficult to send a message to you. I would be kind of like trying to put you on this space. So I was kind of like setting a schedule for you and everything. And then I was just like, Ify, would you like to come in? And I was like, sure, what time? So it's really great. Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity to interview.
I wonder why you were scared, because we've been guys for quite a long time. So I don't know. Nobody should get sent me here. I'm a human being. I'm not good. I think somebody even commented one time. Somebody commented on my process video of me signing the works with Mr. Beast. Somebody commented that Mr. Beast sent me a sign out to a game with the use boss. Am I supposed to fly a plane and go to get a frame the work? Or am I supposed to be? I don't have a car yet. I don't go out of my way to now do some things that are not like my normal. No, I'll not do that. If I was sleeping bus, I'll use bus. If I was supposed to fly plane, I'll fly plane. So, I mean, normal human being, anybody that wants to send me DM. But if you're DM, I cannot reply it. I'll not reply it. I'm a regular guy. Just like I think there's someone here that is a regular guy. So I'm a regular guy, please.
Actually, we've been talking for a while, so yeah, it's kind of like, yes, and you've always kind of like been like that even before any of all these things happen. Like, we are always kind of like, I'm always coming to ask you about different type of things, and then you will give me tips about different things. So yeah, it's really nice to hear from you. So like, there's a lot of pressure in art today, especially online, like to go viral, to be seen, so like, how do you stay true to your craft without losing yourself in trends?
Okay, so you see that pressure of getting to trend?
Yeah.
People used to, most times I just like to say, just trust the process. Because that fame you want to now get to, you can get there and then you now see that there's nothing there. Especially the part where I think, I don't know what made this guy sing this song. This song that says Lonely at the Top. I like, if you notice this recent thing that happened to me, I like the fact that it's not just me. Like a few months ago, something big happened to Rapido, which includes my guy. Something huge has happened to Midi. Midi, and I just met Adekunle Gold and Satan reposted our works and everything. So you've seen that. For me, it feels better that way, that okay, it's not just me, most of my guys, even like my friend that is on here, Bitwa. Bitwa has made some wins herself like recently, and some other people that I know. Yeah, so that pressure to go viral, most times it's not really, because you could get there, you'll not even have like some basic time for yourself. Imagine now, okay, you're not just the only person that has reached out to me for like an interview and everything. If I want to follow all this interview and everything, be going out for all of it. I'll forget that. Okay, I have to create more artworks. I still need to make more artworks. I'm very, very young. I still need to make more artworks and all of that. So I could get too excited, start going for all these interviews, and then I forget that, okay, I have stuff to do. Okay, recently I posted that I got into an arts residency. Now, if I was, or I've said, okay, I've made it, I've gotten to the top, I have a whole lot to do and all of that, then I'll not go for arts residency. They're supposed to help my life, help my career, and help my CV as an artist. I'll not do all of that. So, one, that thing about the pressure, like to go viral, how do you even stay true to your craft? Just remind yourself why you started. Did you start to just get to the top? If you started to just get to the top, then fine, do whatever you want to do. But you check back, why did you start creating? It's something I love doing. I know, obviously, you need to make money and all of that and everything. If I make money and make like some bastard money and everything, I'll still go back to my craft, go back to what I love doing. So for myself, I just try to remind myself why I started, and I didn't start to train. I didn't start to do some of those crazy things. Like for me, I stay in my house. Like I can be in my house for the whole week, not going out. Highest I'll just go to maybe church or maybe an art exhibition or some other basic things like that. So I just focus on purpose. There are certain things I need to get done, I just get them done. Especially things that will help my craft. So I'm not really all about, especially, you see that fame that doesn't come with money. I'm not part of it. So sometimes people want to get viral, all of that, but it's not bringing money to your table. How do you want to survive at the end of the day? So make sure that whatever fame you want to get into is also bringing money to your table.
Yeah, it's true. You know, it's one thing having that fame, and it's one thing having money. You know, like, and also, there's also one of the things about getting that recognition. And then sometimes you will just be in a particular type of state whereby, okay, my work has been recognized by this person, but yet I still don't have money. That's the whole thing. And then let's say you are in an exhibition as well, you just be like, yeah, I just wish this work sold or something like that. I have you ever felt that way? Like, even like when you got recognized about something, and then you just had this particular feeling about yeah, this particular type of situation.
Sorry, I didn't get you.
I mean, like, having this recognition and then you just had this particular type of feeling where, yes, you'll be like, you've not kind of like made enough bastard money, like you say. And yeah, have you ever kind of like felt that way?
No, most times if I'm posting my art on the internet and everything, I get some sort of, the only time maybe I may feel bad about it is my personal works. If they don't sell, the ones I have on Supari and everything, those are the only ones. That's why I stopped early in my career drawing celebrities, because at the end of the day, some of them will just look you and just pass. So I just stopped that. So the only time where I feel maybe some type of sadness is when my works get viral. And my works have gotten viral a lot of times, and it's the work always sells out. Then the ones that don't sell out, that's the one I always feel sad. I'm like, okay, maybe they don't want to buy it. But there's a part of me that also feels that, okay, maybe somebody has it booked map and is waiting for some sort of cash to enter, and then someone else buy it. Yeah.
That's the thing about art. Like, it always has its own time. You cannot kind of like dictate when it's going to sell or a particular moment is going to get recognized. You just keep on doing what you're doing, and then some work will just kind of like take some time. It will sit out there, and then you might make something, and so it's just going to get that recognition. And you might even like that one more than the other one, the one that is sitting out there. It's just what it is. So how do you balance detail and imperfection? Like, when do you know that a piece is done?
Okay, so when I feel at peace, most times, I think my siblings are always around when I'm drawing. When they just hear me start shouting, they know they draw past like this. That's when I'm done. I just start shouting that particular, because I used to look at my words, I was like, ah, let me draw this thing, like, let me draw it, you know, you draw, or I just feel at peace and be like, okay, this is it, and then I'm done. Because there's that, the point where you now start doing unnecessary finishing touches and then you spoil the work. I think this is something that every artist relates to. So if you want to go ahead and correct too much, that's why even working on maybe like a commission piece, or sometimes I just hate commission pieces. Well, at least it used to bring money to the table. I'm working on commission pieces. I try to make sure I get the resemblance as much as possible. To make sure everything is right. And then I test it with my eyes, test it with my manager sees it, and then some other people see it. I now send it to the clients. So if I send it to the client and the client is like, oh, yeah, this is perfect, this is good, you can go ahead and frame it. I'm always at peace and like I'm fine. But the parts where you now start telling me the ears is bigger than the nose, or can you ask more baby for me and all of that, you now start try to maybe erase or maybe add more details and everything, and it ends up messing the work. So it's just basically when I feel peace with the work. So I just make sure I do like little finishing touches, and then I just leave it the way it is, because if you want to overdo, you'll now end up spoiling the work.
Yeah. There's one thing they say about when someone finished cooking and then you just decide to add just a tiny pinch of salt, and that salt will just end up spoiling the whole meal.
It nearly happened to me this afternoon. This afternoon, so that I just finished cooking. It nearly happened to me.
What are you making? Rice or?
I was making half and two.
Oh, wow.
I'm not going to drop location, Sha.
Try. Anyway, Aquaman is going to be there. That guy is always in every place where they're making half and two. So, yeah. You will just see him wearing a lawyer wig or something. So, like, every artist hits a moment of doubt. Like, what keeps you going when your inspiration fades? Or when your work feels slow? Like, when you have this creative block, what keeps you going?
Okay, first off, I used to give thanks to the source that creates life. I'm going to pray. I don't pray. Because, like, this is our guy said, I don't know where he got that line from. We are nothing but pencils in the hands of the creator. Yeah, so at the end of the day, if I don't have, like, the Holy Spirit doesn't guide me, sometimes I'll just, yeah, so I just go pray, sleep, watch a movie, and everything. I think the last space we had for with the Artist Fellowship on Monday was talking about art blocks and all of that. So sometimes I just leave it, and yeah, that's why I have like different styles. So sometimes when I'm working with charcoal, I work with charcoal for too long, I just be like, okay, I pick up my black pen and then I start scribbling. Scribble just takes me into another dimension and another world entirely, because you're just, you see how scribbles are, it's just chaka-chaka that makes sense. So nonsense with sense, I mean, something like that. Yeah, so I just do that, and then I used to envy people that paint, because it's most times that people, when people have art blocks, that's when painters used to paint one of their best artwork in the world. They just carry paint, and for me, it's just black and white. I'm happy with it, yeah, but it's when you have those art blocks, I think painters have more advantage, because they just mix colors. I don't know, now mix some weird color and then they'll now call it one name. That's how we have colors like cockroach brown, sea green, and all of that and everything. Don't mind me, please. I'm just joking. So I think that's just basically it. Just try. I used to try out different things or just go out sometimes, because we artists, I know most of us, we have extroverted features in our body, but we are more introverted than the extroverted, because we are always indoors, maybe just. But so at that point, I'll just try to go out. That's why I like going to church, go rehearsals, do music and all of that. I'm planning to get a piano at home. So sometimes when I feel that way, because I play the piano, yeah. So I could just move from my joint table, go to the piano, play some music and all of that. So that's just it.
That's lovely. Yeah, there's even something about, like, even if someone is, like, they're not feeling good about what you're making at the moment, like, you should just make it. That's where sometimes you can just have fun just doing making that your scribble or whatever you call jagger jagger or something. Like, just keep creating, like, no matter what. If you could give one piece of advice, and yeah, I'm going to ask this before, like, if anybody have any question, you can come up to ask Ify. If you could give one piece of advice to artists trying to stand out in a world full of portraits or art, what would it be?
Okay, so I'll give advice to artists in the world. So the very first thing I'll just say is just be yourself. Because people tend to try to be somebody and then end up losing themselves in the process. Why am I saying this? I tried so much to be Kelvin Okafor. I tried so much to be Arinze in my life. And look where I am now. The picture that got me the most fame is not even hyper-realism. It's a blurry picture, like everybody has seen. It's a blurry picture, it's never hyper-realism. So I just stayed true to myself. I just I just did what made me happy and then just kept doing it. So just stay true to yourself. We have the whole world is big enough for everybody, and the sky is big enough for everybody to shine. So don't feel okay, you want to now go and be copying somebody and be doing exactly what another person is doing. No. I like there's this trend I saw. Somebody started it. I'm trying to remember his name. Is it Toby? Can't remember his name. So when he posted my art then and my art now, I mean, his art then was hyper real, like realism to a certain level, and then his art now is just a rough, like very very rough sketch, and he's very very okay with it. I saw a lot of artists jump on that trend. If you are active on Twitter, yeah, you must have seen it. So I like that they were very, very true. They were very, very okay with, okay, this is how they want their art to look like. This is how they want their art. If you're in NFTs, you see that there are a whole lot of artists and people do a lot of crazy things. So that's just basically it. Stay true to yourself. Don't chase something that you are not. Just be, if you know that, okay, this is what you want to do, this is how you like to do it, just do it that way. That's one of the reasons why I don't even go to art school, because if I go to art school, they'll try to make me what I'm not. And then just put me on a path that I'm not supposed to be on. So the basic thing is just be yourself and try to be perfect and try to add much value to yourself in a certain way, because you want to get into the world where there are a lot of people. Okay, people are already doing this work. Just try to say, okay, what can you do differently? Don't put much pressure on what can you do differently. Just paint, just draw. Then if it comes, it comes. If it doesn't come, you just leave it there. One day, you'll find your path and everything. So, and also try to be unique in some sort of way. Just try to be unique. You can't go and be saying, okay, because me, they drew Adekunle Gold in this type of way. You now want to go and draw Adekunle Gold that type of way. I think he's going to answer you. He's not going to answer you. I saw, I'm not trying to shade anybody, but I saw that after drawing Mr. Beast, somebody, I think, few other artists, some of them, I don't know them, tried to do some paintings of Mr. Beast thinking he will see it. Maybe he has seen it, but he obviously is not going to respond. So don't try to, because okay, this one is doing this now, you know, to go and dress, especially when you are sure that okay, that is not you and everything. So don't try to stay unique in your own way and be honest to yourself. Don't lie to yourself whatsoever you are doing. If you are drawing for passion, draw for passion. If you are drawing for money, draw for money. Don't lie to yourself. Anyhow. Also, the major part is to be honest with yourself. You will get there. So the world doesn't need more perfect art. It needs authentic ones. I don't know if you understand what I mean by that statement. It needs, like, authenticity is better than just getting like perfect, because we are in this world is not even perfect like that. So you try to create like the perfect artwork. You might know, okay, see me that I'm making blurry works. It's not like the most perfect, like clearest pictures of all. And that's what's making me like stand out in my own way and everything. So that's also basically what I have to say to every other artist out there. Just be unique.
That's great. Yeah, thank you. That was really insightful, like what you said about standing out, like making sure what you make is really about you. In case anybody kind of like have any question that they would like to ask Ify before I close up on the interview, you can come up, you can request to speak, and then I'll bring you up. I'm just going to kind of like give a couple of minutes why a face kind of warming is afang soup and everything.
Warming afang soup, okay? I mean, I'm eating.
I cannot anyway, sure. This, or you call it new iPhone feature of separating this thing. I could not hear any sound of afang. You're eating afang soup and it's not slapping. Like, how is that happening?
There are ways to do these things. Isn't like people that used to wear suit and shorts and sit down and do interview?
I'm kind of guilty in that particular aspect. Like, when someone is having like a meeting, I'll just be wearing suits with my it's my house clothes. Anyway, it is what it is. So it seems like nobody has any question to you, and they really learned a lot from you. Thank you for coming to the space, Ify. It was such a beautiful conversation. Thank you for sharing your story, your process, and the art behind your work. What I love most is how your art reminds us that standing out isn't about doing something loud. It's about doing something honest, something that feels like you. And you do it quite well. To everyone listening, thank you for tuning into Art and Friend. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with someone who loves art or needs a little creative push today. And I'm Volkan, and this is where we keep the conversation real. See you in the next one. Hey, wait. See my coast. Kafani, where are you? let me just be helpful. Come on. I was calling her, like, this girl, we have his space. We have his space now. She was sleeping. And oh my God.
And hi, everyone. Good afternoon. I hope you get along fine.
Having bedroom voice, just like waking up early.
I'm so sorry. I actually did set an alarm, but like, we'll talk about it later, please. Let's not talk about it.
Talk about it later.
Hi, Ify. Hi, Bitoa. Hi, everyone. I hope you guys are well. Thank you for tuning into Art on Frame. I'm Kafani. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much.